Nice to be with you all again. Hare Krishna. Tomorrow is Nrisimha Chaturdasi. So I'd like to speak something, obviously, in relation to Lord Nrisimhadev. But, at the same time, you're discussing, I understand, on a theme, a series of classes describing the six enemies of the conditioned soul, or the six, in the language of Bhagavad Gita, gates to hell, those features of life. Doesn't matter what your religion is, doesn't matter what your language is, qualities that drag one down to the darker modes of nature, the darker qualities of life, and how to overcome them. So, there's a very wonderful verse in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the appearance and the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadev is described in the seventh canto. But he appeared to protect Prahlad Maharaj. And there's two wonderful prayers in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam that spoken by Prahlad that directly address overcoming the quality of enviousness. And the agent is Lord Nrisimhadev. So, before I go to those prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, first I thought it would be a nice idea to make a general description. A few things first. Envy and jealousy are often used almost interchangeably, synonymously, but are I've had a discussion with Rabindra Sarup Prabhu, who really likes, he's a word crafter, as he says. You know, each word has a specific meaning and application. So the distinction, if there is to be a distinction made, because often we use them interchangeably, even in literatures we find them used interchangeably. Jealousness has something to do, the connotation of it is something that you have and you jealously guard it from others. And enviousness is something that someone else has and you wish you had it. If there's a distinction to be made, that's a distinction. In common vernacular, we don't make that distinction. If you're envious, you're jealous, you're jealous, you're envious. And the material position of envy is, well, first we'll do the Vaishnava position. The Vaishnava position is, for the intermediate stage of devotion, we worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We recognize that those that are more advanced than us, we should hear from them and serve them and respect them. Those that are peers, we should make friendships and exchange realizations and understandings in Krishna consciousness with one another. Those that are Vaishnavas, that are less advanced, we extend a helping hand in whatever way we can, compassionately assist and receive the assistance from those who are Vaishnavas. So we make friends with devotees, we show compassion to the innocent, and we carefully avoid intimate association with those that are averse to God and His supremacy. Now, in this category of those who are more advanced or more fortunate, those that are equal, those that are less fortunate. The nature of envy is one who is in the superior position, I try to pull him down. Because if he comes down, then I, theoretically at least, I'm a little bit relatively higher. Those that are peers, I compete and try to put them down. And those that are down, I step on their head to get where I want to go. And fortunately, for myself as a sannyasi, I don't experience that in the workplace because I don't go to work. But those of you that do go to work, you experience that in the workplace. The nature of enviousness and vicious competition in the workplace. And it's a common question that I hear from devotees. How do I deal with this viciousness in the workplace? I don't want to participate in it, but it's something that's all over the place. So we'll come back to that question in a minute. Just want to outline the nature of what envy is. Bringing someone down. Envious, ultimately, Prabhupada's teaching is that enviousness of another is just a more remote phenomena of the primordial enviousness of God. Enviousness of another is enviousness of God. Because whatever it is that another has, where do they get whatever they have? From God. So if there's some, I'm envious of someone has some wealth or some position or some honor or something, I wish I had that. And therefore, I'm envious towards that person. I covet that which another person has. But where did other person get that something? They got it from God. So this envious is of God. So that's a very sobering reminder if you're feeling that feeling of enviousness. And by the way, every living being in this material world has that tendency. Here's the verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna describes why every living entity takes birth in this material world. That is, if we become free from these two things mentioned in the verse, we don't have to remain in the material world. Raga, dvesha, samutena, dvandva mohena, bharata. All living entities, O son of Bharata, take birth in this world overcome by these two qualities. Raga is nice. It's a nice term that you use in music. There are different ragas. But there's another meaning or other application of that word, and that is coveting the position or wishing to have the position of being the enjoyer. Prabhupada gives the example of a citizen who looks at the king, thinks he's a very nice man, but why is he always on this big seat with royal opulence and everyone fanning him and worshiping him? Why not me? Raga. And there's one big obstacle for me being there. There's already somebody there. Dvesha. Raga, dvesha. Sammutena, dvandva, mohena. The duality of moha, illusion, or delusion. The living entity's mind becomes crazy. Dvandva mohena bharata. One becomes deluded due to that quality of enviousness. And if I'm envious, then I have my plan how I can sit there. I can be the enjoyer. I am the Lord of all that I survey. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes the demoniac mentality that is like that. So much is mine, and I have my plans how so much more will be mine. All my enemies I'll remove, and I'll control. Just like our dear friend Hiranyakashipu. He was so powerful. Like a herd of turtles up there. Is somebody... got a fly swatter? Just kidding. Hiranyakashipu became so powerful that he defeated the king of heaven. He was on top of the pile, and he controlled all the middle and lower planetary systems too. And he was thinking, this is great, but if I die, then I'll lose it. So I want to become immortal. I'll be God. Not only controller now, but controller forever. So he wanted immortality. Controlling everything eternally. He wanted it. He's the role model for the envious. And he was defeated because you can't be God. It's illusion. It's Maya. One, somebody else is the enjoyer. So the Sanskrit term for this is Purusha. And that which is enjoyed is Prakriti. The living entity, according to Bhagavad Gita, we're Prakriti. We're a special kind of Prakriti. We're Para Prakriti. We're conscious Prakriti or energy of God, as opposed to dull matter that's not conscious. And this configuration of matter, this even it's a nice strong marble table, it's not eternal. But the soul, the elements are eternal, but it's not table eternally. And the soul is eternal and conscious, but it's enjoyed. It's in this marginal position of conscious energy, but enjoyed by the Supreme. But I want to be the Supreme. That's enviousness. Just to define what our subject matter is, enviousness. So now I'm going to present three suggestions how to address enviousness. And one of them is directly from Srila Prabhupada, where as you know, some of our devotees, Nityananda Pran and myself, were just in New Vrindavan in between the Festival of Inspiration and the 24-hour Kirtan, which is our GBC meeting. A little different than both of those. But one of the things that we did at the very beginning was very nice. The disciples of Srila Prabhupada sat with all the other devotees, and we each had 5 minutes to share something that for us was a particular inspiration or a life-turning, changing moment. And one of the persons that shared was a devotee named Dharma Prabhu. So those of us here up north don't know Dharma Prabhu because he's been always in Florida. He's the head pujari in the Miami Temple, and he joined in the Gainesville Temple, one of the fruits of that college program in Gainesville. And in case you didn't notice, as you walk up the stairs going to the Prasadam Hall, there's lots of quotes about book distribution, because there was a time in our Hare Krishna movement that That's what everybody did, except, you know, the handful that needed to keep, you know, our little operation going. Everyone was out distributing books. And Dharma was describing that he was not only not good at book distribution, he was always last. And then he had charts for the whole country, and he was always last in the whole country. And he felt very bad. He shared with us, I was thinking, how can I please my spiritual master? This is a service I know he wants, everyone know he wants, and I'm always last. How can I please him? So he wrote one letter in his whole lifetime of being a disciple. It was in 1972. He wrote a letter to Prabhupada describing his dilemma. And the question was, what should I do? And he explicitly stated in the letter he shared with us that he was feeling enviousness towards those that were so successful. And he knew that there wasn't a good quality. You don't have to read Bhagavad Gita to know that's not a good quality. It's not a good quality, enviousness. What to do? Very gently, matching the nature of Dharma, because if you meet Dharma, he's one of the gentlest persons you could ever even imagine. Very gently, Srila Prabhupada appreciated the words that he had expressed and turned it around in the letter and said that, now, the precise words that Prabhupada used, I wish I had it in front of me, but I don't. So it was something like this. Take this feeling that you have and transform it into a feeling where you're appreciating those that are serving Krishna so nicely. Just like in the spiritual world, someone may serve Krishna very nicely, and another resident of the spiritual world is thinking, oh, Krishna is pleased so much by this devotee service. How nice. Because what's the goal? Krishna is pleased. So if this devotee can please Krishna very nicely, oh, that's very nice. So there's a key to how to transform envy into spiritual emotion or spiritual feeling. Then he gave the example of Kolavachar Sridhar. Kolavachar Sridhar, he didn't say it very extensively, and in 1972 we hardly ever even heard of Kolavachar Sridhar, but he just referred to him. He was a disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was very poor. So poor, in Chaitanya Bhagavat it's described, so poor that he lived in a thatched hut that had more holes than it had thatch. His chadar had more holes than it had chadar, and he had only one, and one cloth, and that was his whole possession. So when it rains in Mayapur, in the monsoon season, you might as well be outside. And he was poor because he was his profession was, but he lived in a grove of banana trees, and so he took the leaves from the banana trees and made banana plates and stitched them together and made banana leaf cups. He took the banana flowers and the bananas. And those of you that have been to Mayapur or West Bengal or that part of the world, how many banana trees are there? Gazillions of them. All over the place. And who, you know, what's the big deal of a banana leaf? or a banana flower. In other words, it's abundantly supplied by nature, but that's all he had, what was supplied by nature, and so he gathered them. His work was he gathered them, and then he sat by the side of the Ganges River. You know, it was a merchant little place spread out in front of him were his banana cups and banana leaves and banana flowers and bananas. Ripe bananas, green bananas. That's what he did. He earned so little, it was barely enough to survive, but because he was a devotee of the Lord, half of it he used for worshipping the Ganges, and the other half was whatever it was that he maintained himself, and he was therefore very thin. There's many nice things to say about Kolavachar Sridhar, but the point that Prabhupada made was that the Lord was very pleased because the offering that he made was insignificant. He gave half of what he had, which was very little. And then Prabhupada said this little phrase. I sent this passage out to a number of devotees recently. Prabhupada said, what Krishna wants to see is not what we give, but Krishna wants to see what we're holding back. Right? Krishna wants to see what we're holding back. Just a little on the side remark. In our GBC meeting in Mayapur, Anutama Prabhu of the Washington DC area, our international communications director for all of ISKCON, made a proposal for the GBC to consider. And there was a lot of discussion, and so he withdrew it for some further work. But in his role as communications director, he attends gatherings where other religious organizations come together and consider what are the problems that face themselves and how do they addressing, and they're sharing back and forth. So one of the things is funding. And so he put forth this idea, it's tithing, you've heard that term, it's a Christian term, but in many religious organizations, to be in good standing, one contributes a certain amount of one's earnings, like Kolavachar Sridhar. Although he earned very little, he gave 50% of that very little for worship. So Prabhupada used a similar formula where he said, Rupa Goswami, he set the standard that all Vaishnavas should follow, and you look in folio word search and see how many times that's there, and it's a lot. 50% of one's earnings should be given for serving the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas and the purpose of Krishna consciousness. So he put in his proposal, whereas Prabhupada said like this, but many grihasthas find it not realistic, or they don't see how to do it themselves, and so many other whereases. So the proposal was that 10% of one's income should be given to ISKCON or ISKCON-related activities, to causes that are for the furtherance of Krishna consciousness, to be a devotee in good standing. I mean, it doesn't mean you can't be a devotee and so on, but like some kind of a general guideline. And it's very interesting that since I came back from our GBC meeting, I've had three grihasthas separately approach me on this topic, what should be the standard of our gift giving to ISKCON and to the Hare Krishna movement and related causes. So I referred to this message. But now hearing this from Prabhupada, just 2 days ago, or 3 or 4 days ago, at the beginning of our meeting, where in 1972 Prabhupada was referring to this in Dharma's, his letter to Dharma, the one letter that Dharma wrote, the one letter that he got back, it said it. all of H.R. Sridhar gave 50%. So I'm not saying this to like have anybody start feeling uncomfortable and like, let me get out of here kind of feeling. But it's a standard that Prabhupada expressed. And what he was instructing a very gentle disciple how to overcome feelings of enviousness, and his encouragement was, you're giving your full effort, and if Krishna rewards your full effort this much or that much or the other, that's up to Krishna. What Krishna is looking for is what you're holding back, not what you're giving him. It's not the result, it's your sincere effort and trying to serve him. That's what Krishna wants to see. So one of the ways to overcome or to address the quality of enviousness that one might honestly recognize is within one's heart is to try one's utmost to please Krishna, whatever it is that you have, regardless of what someone else has, what you have, you're using that to your best capacity, your fullest capacity in serving Krishna. And look within yourself and see what it is that you're holding back. If there's something you're holding back, then try to give that something which you're holding back to Krishna too. And because when you do like that, here's what happens. Ahoituki apratiyata yayatma suprasidati. Language of the first canto Bhagavatam. The essence is, you're satisfied. Suprasidati. Prasanna means spiritual happiness. And suprasanna is like, the prefix means very satisfied. And when you're feeling very satisfied, this tendency of regarding others in an envious way, it's gone. Not only it diminishes, it's gone. Because you're fully satisfied. That is to say, Krishna has given me X. Somebody else may have 10X, 100X, 1,000,000X. But Krishna has given me X. And I'm using X to my capacity. That makes me feel satisfied. That's the lesson that Prabhupada was giving to Dharma. Das, Dharma Prabhu. Strive to satisfy Krishna, and that tendency for being envious will diminish. It's like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 9, very nice section where Bhishma Dev is instructing Maharaj Yudhisthira. And when Bhishma Dev gets to the part where Yudhisthira is requesting Bhishma Dev to instruct him how he should conduct himself as king, because he didn't want to accept the role of king because he felt so horrible that this ghastly warfare has taken place. So many people have lost their lives. For what? So I can sit on the throne? How horrible. Bhishma Dev managed to pacify his heart. Now he's ready to accept that role. He's asking Bhishma Dev, what should I do as king? What are my duties? So one of his duties as king is to give guidance and ensure that the citizens are engaging in their prescribed duty. And something that checks prescribed duty is these faults or these enemies. So his duty as king, our duty as Vaishnavas who are, we're not kings, we're devotees of the Lord, to carry out the message of Krishna consciousness ourselves by our own lives and helping others in the same way, in this compassionate way, as the natural duty of a Vaishnava. It's to see that unfortunate qualities are diminished and fortunate qualities are put in their place. Prabhupada said, I was in some dark place of material existence and my spiritual master found me. And by his great mercy, he made me fortunate. And then he instructed me, now that you have become fortunate, you go to the English-speaking parts of the world and make them fortunate too. The temple room erupted. Jai Prabhupada! And then we knew what he was going to say next, and he did. And now I'm instructing all of you. As I was instructed by my Guru Maharaj, I am now instructing all of you. You go forward, receive that fortune, and help others to become fortunate. The place exploded. Jai Prabhupada! How can you make others fortunate if you're not fortunate? If you're poor, how can you give something? If you don't have something, how can you give something? So we have to receive that good fortune of becoming free from these qualities and help others. And the effort to help others is part of what helps us to become free from those qualities. So taking those teachings, I would say Dharma has done a fantastic job of freeing from his heart whatever quality of envy may have been there. And he's just happy to serve the deities, because he's the head pujari, and serve the devotees. And he was there representing the Miami Temple at our temple president's meeting. He's doing a very nice service. So now here's another second explanation of how to address, well, simultaneously, there's one of the qualities that's still remaining to be discussed is pride, but pride and envy. And the section of the Srimad Bhagavatam that I want to describe is Canto 3, chapter 9. And that happens to be the section I'm studying right now. So it's Lord Brahma's prayers for creative energy. The situation is, the night of Brahma has just concluded, and it's now the beginning of Brahma's next day. What does Brahma do every day? Well, at night, at the beginning of his life, he creates. And that's one day, the creation is there, and it lasts for half of his day, and then at night, there's a partial devastation. The middle planetary systems, Bhur, Bhuvar, and Svargaloka, and the planets below them are engulfed in a flood. Like I just saw one of the headlines, you know, that whatever's going on in the Mississippi River, and, you know, it's like a great flood. But that's nothing compared to the flood at the time of Brahma's night. It's really a little detour. It's not just a flood, but before there's a flood, there's a big fire. And before there's a big fire, there's a drought. It's like very scientific. There's no rain for 100 years. Everything gets dry as anything. And then a little fire. There's fire that goes all the way up into the heavenly regions. It's described in Brihat Bhagavatamrita that the fire is so intense, the residents above heaven, Maharloka, no, Janaloka, they get on their vimanas and head for the upper regions of the universe because it's so hot. And all of those planets, they burn to a crisp. And then there's big rain. So what happens? All that crisp, all that ashes dissolves in the water. It's like an Alka-Seltzer. It's just like it's gone. It's just somewhere in the water. The whole of creation. In that planetary region. Brahma's at the very top. May get a little warmer, but he, you know, it doesn't burn. And in the morning, he does his sadhana, takes his, you know, snan and does his sadhana. And his sadhana is he offers prayers to the personality of Godhead, just like we may offer prayers. In any religious tradition, that's common. We have our maha mantra, but we also have other prayers that we recite. And he has prayers. And I'm going to summarize. The prayers are many verses. The essence of those prayers are three. One, he prays to the personality of Godhead for the capacity to do the daunting service that he has in front of him. Hint, each of us has some service to do. That if we were to do it flawlessly any given day or even any given hour or any given moment, we need empowerment. He's done this every day and he lives a long life, but he's feeling, I can't do this without empowerment. So he prays to the Lord for empowerment to do his service properly. I mean, imagine if there was a mistake in creation. Big problem. Little mistake. Big problem. We don't have such important service, so we make mistakes left and right and sideways. But if we're Krishna conscious, as Brahma is Krishna conscious, then we pray for the capacity to carry out our service properly. Second prayer, or category, area, is he had to create a universe in which he knows there's going to be so much suffering, and he details the nature of that suffering, the degree of that suffering, the cause of the suffering, and he has to create that place. So he prays to the Supreme Lord for the empowerment to at least give souls the opportunity to get relief from that suffering. Hint, we should similarly, as devotees of the personality of Godhead and followers of Srila Prabhupada's teaching, pray for such empowerment. Circumstances will happen in the course of every day, but we'll have some opportunity to do that. We can't do that without empowerment. And the third thing that he prays for is to become protected, to be protected from pride. Pride. Pride is the thought that says, I did it! Yay! Envy is, someone else did it. I wish I had done it. And that pain in one's heart is not respecting that God is giving empowerment. Pride is what we think that we do, and jealousy is what we think somebody else did or has. To be protected from pride, one needs protection from the Supreme Lord, who's the protector of all. So, in the personality of Godhead is literally standing before Lord Brahma. And he replies. And he replies how to become free from pride and envy. Would you like to know what the Lord says? It's very nice. The emphasis goes to the relationship between Lord Brahma and the Supreme Lord. Or the relationship between us and God. Brahma's service is manipulating or using the energies of God to make creation happen. So he says, in establishing, stay fixed in your relationship with me by also remaining fixed in seeing my energies in relation to me. When you have accomplished that, when I am fixed in your heart in that way, you'll be freed from pride. Whew, that's too simple. Let's do that again. Prabhupada has said there's two things. There's God and there's gods, that which belongs to him, and there's not a third thing. There's no void in all of creation, because void would mean something that doesn't exist in relation to God. But there isn't such a thing. Voidists just made a mistake. There's no such thing. Even space, where supposedly it's a vacuum. Here's a little lesson that I learned in eighth grade science. I remember we had our science teacher put on the big table in the front, and said, here's a bell jar. It's just like big, thick glass. And then he had a vacuum pump and pumped it, and you know, it was really noisy, and he had a little suction tube. And then he asked us, what's inside? I pumped everything out, what's inside? And if you get an A in your exam, you're supposed to say nothing. But a devotee wouldn't say nothing, because there's no such thing as nothing. It's either there's space. And you know, even by a common definition of space, there's space. There's probably a whole bunch of other things. There's like radio waves and, you know, all kinds of waves passing through that space, because space carries sound. I won't go too far into this. This is from Sankhya philosophy, but we use this all the time. They say space, there's nothing. There's weightlessness and there's nothing. But all the time they send signals to a satellite that's up in space. It bounces off the satellite and comes back as a signal, right? So when that signal is passing through space, what's it passing through? It's something. It's space. And sound is carried in space. But space is also where we are. It's like here we didn't take a vacuum pump and pump the bell jar. We have air. We also have some humidity, water, and fire and earth. So even when there's space, where there's no fire, no earth, no water, no air, there's space. And space is an element, one of the external, inferior energies of God. And just for those of you that have read Bhagavad Gita and things like that, you'll appreciate what I'm saying. And the others, what's this guy talking about? The short message is everything is in relation to God. It's his energy. There's God and there's gods, that which belongs to him, and there's not a third thing. So Vishnu's advice to Brahma to become free from envy, which means it's advice to us how to become free from envy, is to keep your mind fixed on the Supreme Lord, and you're doing your duty, your activity for the day, whatever your service is, whatever your prescribed duties are. And see those energies, see the Lord in those energies, or see those energies in relation to the Lord, and not otherwise. Relationship with the Lord, relationship with him through his energies, and you'll be freed from pride. Because the ability to do anything comes from God. And the ability to anybody to do anything comes from God. And if God chooses to give somebody this ability and somebody that ability, that's wonderful. It's his energies. He can decorate people with those energies whatever way he likes. This morning in the Bhagavatam class, Bhadra Narayan Prabhu was quoting Srila Prabhupada as saying, I have created this ISKCON, I have given you the structure, now decorate it. Then he paused and he said, I've even given you the direct decorations. Just hang them. Someone's giving you the structure, someone's giving the direction, someone the decoration, someone's giving you the instructions to do so. Where's the pride? It's service. If one is in the mood of service and sees the energies with which we're serving as the property of the energetic, there goes pride and there goes envy. And it's not a mental adjustment. It's devotional. Okay, I'm going to move on. The third example is Prahlad Maharaj, who showed his non-enviousness towards all living entities in the following way. When Lord Nrisimhadev requested Prahlad, a little boy, 5 years old, to accept a benediction, his first request was, please relieve my father from all of his sinful reactions, for all of his misdeeds, including his attempts to kill me. He wasn't, I have a benediction, can you get him? He tried to... Lord Nrisimhadev already got him. But relieve him from all of his sinful reactions. So Lord Nrisimhadev said, that's already accomplished. Ask for something that hasn't already been accomplished. So then Prahlad asked for, please liberate all the conditioned souls, because I don't wish to leave this realm and leave these unfortunate souls behind. That's a non-envious position, where one is the well-wisher of others, even above one's own apparent self-interest. Real compassion, real non-enviousness, is to see the well-being of others. So if you had a pan scale, here's enviousness and the other side is compassion. This is what Bhishma Dev does when he's describing how to become free from tendency for anger. Put something over on this side of the pan scale. Practice forgiveness. If there's a tendency for envy, try to serve those who you feel envy towards. Try it. That's what Prahlad did. He was seeking the benediction for his father and the benediction for others who are unfortunate, to wish that they have good fortune. That's the non-envious person. There's two verses. This is from prayers by the residents of Jambudweep in 5th Canto, chapter 18. They're in sequence. The first one of the two is he's praying, Prahlad Maharaj is praying for his own purification. The next one, he's praying for the benediction of all of those who are envious. Here's the translation of text 8. It starts, Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya. Namas Tejas Tejase Avir Avir Bhava. Anyway, I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrisimhadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruitive activity in this material world. Please appear in our hearts, not just his own, plural. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance so that by your mercy, we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. Then the next text, 9. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga, for by accepting devotional service they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. I'm going to read from the purport, just 2 sentences. Anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness and engages himself completely in the service of the Lord cleanses his mind of all envy. From the verse, Manascha Bhadram Bhajatad Adhoksajay. Therefore, we should pray to Lord Nrisingadev to sit always in our hearts. We should pray, Mahir Nrisingo Hridaye Nrisinga. Let Lord Nrisingadev sit in the core of my heart, killing all of my bad propensities. Let my mind become clean so that I may peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. One disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Saradiya Dasi, told me this, that she once asked Srila Prabhupada, when we hear that the chanting of the holy name is the prime benediction for all humanity, it's in Shikshastakam. So when we're chanting the holy name, should we think that the holy name, by chanting the holy name, all living entities are being benedicted just by us chanting the holy name? Nice question. And Prabhupada said, do you have the capacity to think of all living entities? You should just think of the holy name. And he will give benediction to all living entities. Don't worry. Praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for his all benedictory power to cleanse all of our hearts, wishing the Lord to be kind like that, because he has, his nature is he's kind. But if our relationship with him is like that, wishing that our heart becomes cleansed, that others receive the same benefit by his mercy, please sit within our hearts and keep us protected from our bad qualities, and let purity preside in our heart instead. Very effective for relieving ourselves of this quality of pride. So I'll stop there and see if you would like to raise some question or any discussion. Yes. Here's a microphone. Except it doesn't work.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I was just wondering if you could elaborate some on how you explain that enviousness can be freed from seeing the energies of the Lord in relation to Him.
It's subtle. I'll try. When we have enviousness, start at the root. Enviousness towards Krishna is, he has everything. Now we'll go down, and he's somebody else that has something. That something is his, it's part of Krishna's everything. It's Krishna's energy. So if we see Krishna's energy, not only that portion which somebody else has, but even that portion which we're dealing with, that little little tiny sliver of the totality of existence, and we're dealing with that. That energy that we're dealing with is His energy. So what is the question of being envious of, if we're mindful that in fact our hearts have become a little bit softened and we're acknowledging that energy is in fact His. That's just reality. I can't make it mine. It's false. It's Maya. It's illusion. If we can just recognize that it's Krishna's energy, and that what we're doing when interacting with Krishna's energy is, it's something meant for His service. It's meant something meant for the pleasure of the energetic, the one who's the proprietor of that energy. Just acknowledging that, then enviousness towards Krishna, and in turn enviousness towards others, is gone. It's Vaikuntha. Say it differently. Same thing differently. Supposing I'm a nice, young, pious fellow in America, and I have some belief in God, but I don't have a clear idea of everything that exists is His. I just have this nice, pious sentiment that I should have some faith in God. But I'm also growing up in America, where there's this intense spirit of competition. And, you know, everywhere you look, it's competition. It's, you know, in school it's competition, in sports it's competition, in social existence it's competition. It's survival of the fittest. It's competition. But I have this pious idea of, well, I should worship God, or have some part of my life is surrounding God. But if I don't have this other thing in proper order, then how am I going to stay? It's a big struggle. I'm not going to be able to stay fixed in that pious notion. I'll be pulled by, I want to be the enjoyer. as Prahlad is saying, uprooting this fruitive tendency. I want to be the enjoyer of this energy. But I'm not entitled to be the enjoyer of this energy if I recognize whose energy it is. And my interacting with it has the meaning of it is to serve the proprietor. It's a relationship with Krishna through His energy. It's indirect. But it's part of our relationship. There's direct and there's the indirect. It's part of our relationship with Him. Say it one more time. If I don't have that clearly understood, I'm going to be off balance. I want to be Purusha. I want to be the enjoyer of that little piece of the totality of God's energy. Because then I won't be able to keep my relationship with Him in focus. We need to have a clear understanding of the energies of God in relation to Him, to have a relationship with Him. We're going to get pulled away, however sincere our intent is. Contemplate it a bit. I'll show you the section where Prabhupada describes it, and you can see if it helps you a little bit. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
My question is, when a devotee comes in contact with those that are envious, how are we to act?
Ah, that was you're in the workplace and people are envious. Well, one recommendation is be a perambulatory Bhagavad Gita. Meaning, be the example in that situation where this is how one behaves who's not envious. Like Prahlad Maharaj, classic, perfect example. He was certainly in the presence of a very envious person. And how did he conduct himself? He didn't participate in that. He didn't become influenced by it. He was being who he was. He was being the example of one who was fixed in his position of being the constantly remembering the Supreme Lord and constantly trying to praise and serve him. Where there's darkness, what do? Bring some light. And if somebody wishes to remain in darkness, they'll keep their eyes closed. But if they keep their eyes open, they'll see light. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge of being in the material world, but it's part of the bad bargain that we bargained for, just, you know, to take birth in this place in Kali Yuga. We got a material body, and we're here we are in Kali Yuga, USA. So what are we to do? We're to bring light. So you bring the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, or you can at least be the example of that message of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and that brings light into the dark place. Abide by the teachings. Take the teachings, put them right here in the heart, and you move about, and it brings light. You stay illumined, and at least those that open their eyes a bit will see some light. They'll feel something. And they may even ask you, hey, what's that light you got, man? And you say, oh, it's the Bhagavatam. It's Prabhupada's teachings. I'm just, like, you know, I'm just keeping them inside here. But thank you for asking.
You think you're better than other people.
No, Hare Krishnas think you're better than other people.
I've heard that. Okay. It hurts. It hurts my feelings to even
Okay,
hear.
That's pride. And one of the ways that we can check pride is these ways that we've been speaking. I'm this little speck in relation to the supreme light. And the only way that I have, if you see any light, it's because of that big light. Take that spark away from that big blazing fire, what happens? It's charcoal. It's ash. It's dead. If you see some life, that's where the life comes from. And I'm not feeling proud. I'm feeling fortunate. And come on over here next to that fire and see what it feels like. Check it out for yourself. But hey, if you don't want to, fine. But, you know, it's warm over here. It's nice. There's a service. In the mood of service, it checks pride. And praying for protection from pride. And seeing the service that we're doing in those circumstances as just like this message of Lord Brahma. It's just a piece of God's energy, and we're trying to see it in relation to Him. That's all. And serve Him in an appropriate manner. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
I've always taken for granted, this is something that we always learn in Krishna consciousness, that Krishna is the Purusha and He's the enjoyer.
Yes.
And we are the enjoyed.
Yes. It's nice being the enjoyed, by the way.
Yeah, and I've always taken that for granted, but today a question just arose in my mind. Why is that? Why is it that by being enjoyed by Krishna, we also feel blissful and happy?
Why is it?
Yeah, because it seems like the term enjoyed, oh, He has enjoyed us. And why is it that...
Well, it's love. That's why. When you feel, even if you're not Krishna conscious, if you're just like a mode of goodness person, when you act, this is the modes of nature, the mode of goodness. When you act, you go out of your way to do an act of kindness for another person. What happens? You feel something. That's the mode of goodness. You become conditioned by a sense of happiness by extending yourself for the welfare of another person. That's just the mode of goodness. That's just, you know, a window to to what's on the other side of the window. What's on the other side of the window is Krishna's abundant happiness. And you act in relation to Krishna's abundant happiness, you feel something. You feel abundant happiness. Nobody has to tell you, you now feel happiness. You know, you feel happiness. Repeat after me. It's not like that. You feel happiness. And why? Because that's your constitutional position. It's who we are. We're also Satchit Ananda. And our position of Ananda is in relation to Krishna's Paramananda. That's happiness. That's real happiness. Yes.
In the letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote back to Dharma Prabhu, he said, Krishna looks...
I sent it out. You read it?
Yes. So Krishna's looking at what I'm holding back. So how, in my situation, what should I take that as? How should I understand that?
You know how to take that.
Okay.
Well, it's two things. It's not the physical thing that you offer. It's the love with which you offer it. So Krishna is not looking to see what you're giving him. He's looking to see the love with which you're giving it. That's one of the components. And then supposing I'm giving Krishna something that's insignificant, when I'm coveting or, you know, holding on to something much more substantial, but I don't want to offer that to Krishna. What's that? So Krishna's seeing. That's very nice, you've offered something. Now, if your heart is really into it, you offer what you have. And it's not like by offering what you have, now you don't have anything. It's not like that. It's not like that. Krishna is no poor man. He's supplying whatever it is that we have. Whatever we have is His. There's two things, Krishna and Krishna's. And whatever we think is ours, it's Krishna's. So we're holding back, thinking it's mine. It's not like, you know, the real standard is you should become bankrupt. That's not the message. When you're, whatever it is that you have, recognize it belongs to Krishna. And use that fully in Krishna's service.
Okay.
And it's not just, you know, it's not just a financial or monetary thing. It's whatever it is that you have. Mm-hmm. It's not the success of Krishna consciousness is, it's like a top. That you make it spin faster and faster and faster and faster and faster and turn into light or something like that. You just, like, you know, merge into energy or something. It's devotion. Whatever it is that you have, you offer, that it belongs to Krishna.
Okay.
Not this much for Krishna, this for, you know, like two pockets. The Krishna pocket and my pocket. It's only one pocket. I'll tell a little Prabhupada story while you're giving him the microphone. I shared this in New Vrindavan also. With the Prabhupada sharing session. 1 year I served in the Radha Damodar airport party. In fact, it was here in Chicago at O'Hare Airport during one winter season. I was living at the Evanston Temple, and we went out every day distributing books at O'Hare Airport and skipped some of those wonderful days. And the Gaur Purnima festival, just following that, the Radha Damodar party and mass went to Mayapur. One of the things I didn't know was part of the plan. We were going to have a special darshan with Prabhupada. That was very nice. And one of the things with that special darshan was that Tamal Krishna Maharaj had saved up $50,000, and then $50,000 was a lot of dollars, and it was $100 bills stacked up on top of each other. It was like, you know, it was a message, but there was some other kind of energy going on there, and Prabhupada knew it. So what happened is we were sitting, Prabhupada was in his back room, he came out, we paid obeisances, and ceremoniously this stack of $100 bills was placed on the corner of the desk. I was sitting right behind that stack of $100 bills, and I was looking directly at Prabhupada, and I remember clearly, Prabhupada never once during the whole time even glanced at the stack of $100 bills. And he made no mention of it. But he was the proof that he was conscious of it was when the discussion was over, as he was getting up, he turned to his servant and said, "Please take that money and print this such and such book that we're waiting, it's being held up by the printer." And then he tilted his head and smiled and said, "And do you think instead of sugar with my meals I can have honey?" And then did one of those and walked out. The message was, you can't buy me. And the other message was, everything for Krishna. That was not holding back. Everything for Krishna. Yes.
Hare Krishna. You were discussing relating with the different levels of persons for one who is in the intermediate position of Krishna consciousness. We may not be there, but I was thinking one thing that we may try to do is to be humble in our Krishna consciousness and to take lessons from feedback from different persons in life, in workplace or amongst devotees or whatever the case may be. Seems like a humble thing to do, at least.
Sure.
The only issue may be if we're not actually able to take that, I guess, then what happens is when such a person speaks to us, if somebody speaks to us maybe a little bit harshly or something like that, it awakens in us a sense of pride or envy in return towards that person. So how, you know, can we be careful to be humble and also...
By being humble?
Actually be humble.
How do you, as I like to answer that kind of a question by remembering when Prabhupada was asked, how, Swamiji, how does one become sincere? And his reply was, by being sincere. Then he said, everybody knows what sincerity is. Then he said, everybody knows what insincerity is. So be sincere. That's how you become sincere. You practice being sincere. So practice humility by recognizing before Krishna, we're very tiny. Checkmate. What is there to be proud of? Krishna is so great. As we can appreciate more and more and more, just like this question about energies, more and more the greatness of Krishna, everything is Krishna's. Who can say that? That's Bhagavan. All opulences in full. In relation to him, whatever it is I have is his, and he has everything. Before Krishna, If we forget Krishna, it's easy to not be humble. If we remember Krishna, we're humble. It's same way of saying, another way of saying the same thing is in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is asked by Arjuna, how do I always remember you? And he describes his vibhutis, his opulences. He is the best of everything. And he is everything. And what to speak, even with a spark of his splendor, he maintains the whole cosmic manifestation. Without that spark of his splendor, it disintegrates. How great is Krishna? Before him, I'm tiny. So we can always think of him in that way. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.